Welcome to Worthy Radio. Oh my gosh. It's been so long. Many reasons for that. One of the reasons is kicking off right now. We are starting our 8 Keys of Healthy Self-Esteem Radio Marathon here on Worthy to celebrate that the book is here. Yes, yes, yes. You can go to Amazon and get Worthy the book right now. We want to hear from you. We have done everything in our power to get this book out in excellence, so we can't wait to hear from you. But in the meantime, what we're doing over these next 8 shows is we are sharing the 8 keys of healthy self-esteem directly from the book Worthy. These are the essentials. These are the 8 essentials to begin healing your life. So join us over this next 8 episodes. We're so excited. I've missed you guys so much, and I will see you soon after this series is over with some new teaching topics. But in the meantime, let's dive into the 8 keys of high self-esteem, healthy self-esteem, both. We'll see you for key number 1 coming up. It's courage
and love with yourself and your creator. And so the first essential is courage. You know, I love Maya Angelou, Queen Mother. And one of the quotes of hers that I will paraphrase is that she's the quote queen. But one of her quotes that I love, and again, I'm paraphrasing this, is that courage is the most important of all of the virtues, because without courage, you can't practice any other of the virtues, right? It takes courage to practice patience, to wait when it looks like it won't happen. It takes courage to walk in love, to walk in mercy, to walk in grace. And so with the 8 essentials of healthy self-worth, we start with courage. Because courage allows us to tap into our hidden resources and strength and regain our own self-respect. It allows us to co-create the life of our dreams. Courage will help reawaken our hearts to discover our authentic voice. You know, it's the quote by Rollo May that says, "The opposite of cowardice is not courage." The really what we're seeing when we see cowardice is we're seeing conformity. We're seeing conformity. And so courage means to not be a conformist. It means to stand in the truth of what your heart is, what your walk looks like with God, what your passion looks like, what your pain looks like. We don't have to become for other people what we haven't even allowed ourselves to be for God and for who we are. You know, we recently lost one of our best friends in the family, our yellow Labrador Waffles, who was truly just an example of what unconditional love and beauty is. And my middle son said, "You know, Mom, the reason Waffles was my best friend is because I never felt like I had to change who I was in his presence. I felt 100% accepted for who I am, and how he didn't try to change how I think or how I feel." And sometimes in life, we've been taught to shrink, to hide, to repress who we are, because we've been taught that it's not safe to be who we are. And so one of the essentials of courage, being this number one essential, is that we do have the power to welcome childlike faith. The child is wild. The child is free. The child hasn't had enough time to accumulate everything that it can lose by just simply being. And so as we grow and as we get older and as we fall into the trappings and the illusions and the dreams of this world and start to really believe, and as we say, drink the Kool-Aid and actually believe in this fear-based spiritual economy, we start to withhold who we are. We start to diminish our dreams. We start to lose our ability to ask for what we want because we lose our childlike faith. And yet courage requires a childlike faith. Sometimes courage requires us to step out and allow the ground to appear as we walk. We won't have all the answers. But courage refuses to be intimidated, especially by the forces of the mind that are making up vain stories and vain imaginations that don't even exist. You know, our mind will talk us out of things that our hearts so deeply desire. And so courage refuses to be intimidated by vanity, by self-indulgence, by stories that are being created in the head. Courage is still afraid. You know, courage still trembles, because doing something courageous means you are facing something that you're afraid of. And so it's not that fear won't be present. It's just that courage has the beauty of vision over sight. Courage taps into vision, where our fear looks at sight and looks at it for what it is instead of the possibilities of what it can be. And so when we look at the possibilities of what it can be, we have to engage courage. It takes courage even to hope for something better than what you already have. It takes courage sometimes just to pray. I don't know about any of you, but if you've ever gone through a dark night of the soul, a season where you felt stripped of everything, a season where it was like God had his foot on your neck, you couldn't move, you couldn't make it happen, you couldn't force it through. If you're in a season like that, or you're coming out of a season like that, sometimes it takes courage just to ask for something different, for a blessing, for a breakthrough, because you've become so conditioned. We become so conditioned in those low places to pain and suffering that we lose even the courage to hope for something better because we don't want to be disappointed again. But courage gives you the power to rewrite your story. My story isn't over. Your story isn't over. What if you could pick up the pen and co-create with God from here? What would you want to create? If you were building a house of love, what would the rooms look like? If you were building your vision of what your calling and purpose would look like in this world, what would you write for yourself? Because God's words, God's language, God's desire for you to give you a hope and a future is so much deeper and greater than yours or mine could ever be for ourselves. And yet it takes courage to believe that there's something greater in the unknown rather than the control that we move from in fear when we need to know how everything's going to work out, or we're looking simply at what it is right now. So there's a courage to let go of the old story in order to rewrite a new one. There's a courage required just to let go of old pain, to let go of old habits, to let go of old ways. Even when something is killing us, if it's familiar, we stick with it. We like the certainty of what we can control and know versus the uncertainty. And so sometimes we hold on to things that are painful or unhealthy for us, but at least we know what they are. But courage will give you the ability to let go and to trust that great abyss, the space of the unknown. I was watching for my science nerds out there, I was watching a documentary the other day on NASA. And, it was just so brilliant the way these people get to go to work every day and be in outer space. I mean, gosh. And so I was like, Lord, did I miss my calling? Should I be, dealing with the space? I do love the space of the spirit realm. And there's something so breathtaking about the universe that God has so masterfully created, and we are still discovering every day so much of what we do not know. And yet the beauty of space is all of the darkness, and one of the scientists said space is such a dangerous place. It's so beautifully dangerous. There's so many variables of what could happen or what could go wrong when you are engineering things in outer space. And so many of us don't realize that there's an unseen realm that we are always dealing in, and that is the realm of faith, the realm of unknown possibilities, the realm of darkness where we can't see it yet. We don't know what it looks like yet. We haven't laid hold of the promise yet, and yet we have to trust that even in that darkness, that there's God's light, that there is an oasis of peace when we have the courage to let go and welcome that void and trust that all things are working together for our good. It takes courage to be honest with ourselves, to say this way isn't working anymore. I need to surrender. I was working with a client earlier, and we were speaking about the courage required to let go of something or someone. It takes courage because we are letting go of a false sense of control. But the beautiful thing about surrender is that surrender makes you more of yourself because it allows you to rest. Surrender is inviting God in. It takes so much courage to surrender, to say, you know what? I've taken this as far as I can take it my way. It's not working. Let me invite the divine. Let me invite the all-knowing, all-sensing intelligence into this. Let me let go. Because when I face the personal truth, the truth is that the more clearly I see God, the more clearly I'll see myself. And when I let go of this and I surrender it over to God, whether it's a person, a place, a mentality, I am making room for the divine, and I'm also allowing myself to rest. And it takes courage to rest, doesn't it? We're used to striving and working and hustling after everything, but it takes courage to surrender something over to God and say, let me rest, because I desire to live my authentic truth. And there is no way I am going to live my authentic truth if I'm holding on to these smaller stories. The story of how I have to, you know, handle this over here. And God, if it's mine, it's mine. And you will reveal that. And it's I'm under grace, not law. It takes courage even to trust in your grace. That even in the times that I mess up or I think that I blow it, your grace is always making its way to me. And so it takes courage to live in this authenticity of truth, this level of freedom, because the ego likes a lot of bondage and suffering. And when you're able to be courageous enough to accept your peace and to accept your joy and to accept the promise of God's satisfaction through a personal relationship with the spirit within you, that's a beautiful thing. It takes courage to admit what you want. Have you ever been in such a place of sorrow or shame or suffering that you couldn't even ask for what you wanted? You got disconnected from what you even desired. You got into survival mode. I've worked with clients where I've said, what do you want? And they've said, I've been in survival mode so long, I don't know what I want. I just don't want to be in pain. And so when you're able to ask for what you want, you also find the courage to let go of self-suffering. Suffering becomes a frequency. It becomes a familiar place. And sometimes when we start to feel better and we start to welcome joy, and as you go through these eight principles and as you go through Worthy the Book and as you go through Worthy coaching programs with us and all of the things that we are offering you in this beautiful experience of remembering who you are, it is a journey that allows you to expand in ways that you've never, ever imagined. And yet it is also a journey that will require us to let go of our need to suffer, right? There's always going to be a level of suffering for righteousness' sake when we're shedding a part of us that no longer serves where we're going, when we're dying to a part of ourselves, when we're taking off the grave clothes, when we are resetting who we are by accepting new life, laying down a part of the old life. Except there's a subtle suffering that comes with that type of rebirth, but then there's such a beautiful peace and nirvana that it offers when you're on the other side. And so as you step deeper into worthiness, you will let go of the need to self-suffer, to replay it over and 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 over again. Didn't that seem like a lot of overs? But don't we do that? Don't we replay things in our mind over and over again and create more punishment and sorrow for ourselves? And why? Worthiness requires you to let yourself off the hook so that you can see the truth of your beauty, so that you can stop avoiding yourself, your calling, the work that God is asking you to do by hiding behind the real clever place of self-accusation and attack. Because once you let yourself off the hook, then you give yourself permission to go beyond your current assessment of yourself. But doesn't that require courage?
So now we've reached our soul work session for today for courage. And the question is, and I want you to journal this and just think about it. In what ways has a lack of courage kept you playing safe, hidden, or small? In what ways has a lack of courage kept you playing it safe, remaining hidden and small? And what will you do to change that? So take some time and ponder on that. And I'm just excited that you'll be joining us for these next seven of the eight keys to healthy self-esteem, inspired directly from the book Worthy. I am so excited. You guys can go get the book right now on Amazon. Yes. We will see you next time for key number two. And thank you so much for joining me right here on Worthy Radio.